It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Thanks for being with us. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Georgia is now rated by some campaign watchers as a toss-up state in this presidential election. One of Donald Trump's most prominent and most enthusiastic Georgia supporters is U.S. Senator David Perdue. Yesterday, Senator Perdue talked about the campaign and other subjects in a roundtable with reporters in downtown Atlanta. And after that, he sat down for a brief conversation with me. Senator, welcome to Morning Edition, and thank you for having us.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for letting me join you.
In a conversation you had with a number of us just a few moments ago, you said the GOP needs to be more inclusive. One of the questions that inevitably comes up then is, if the nominee of your party, Donald Trump, for whom you have campaigned enthusiastically, takes on Gold Star mothers in a way that questions their religion, talks about the heritage of a Mexican judge, talks about the physical stamina possible for Hillary Clinton as president, which people might think, oh, she's a woman, how can you say your candidate is pushing that message of inclusivity?
Well, I think it's a matter of comparison. I mean, first of all, I think it's a stretch to talk about that he was talking about Hillary's stamina has anything to do with gender.
Sure, but if you take the Mexican judge,
the whole point is well taken. I mean, I think his vernacular is different from mine. I would personally like to see some of that toned down a little bit. But I think the real issue is behind what he offers the American public. You know, voter turnout was up over 60%. He won Michigan and Mississippi the same day. He got 14 million votes, even though we had 17 candidates in the race. I mean, these are things that never happened before. There's something going on here. And so I think in Georgia, we were talking about being inclusive. It's a matter of nationally, the Republican Party's got to get its message out. We're talking about all the wrong things today.
But in order to get that message out, don't people like you have to speak out more strongly when he says some of these things to talk to voters who aren't voters who were Republicans and committed Republicans?
Well, I think that's fair. And I think also, this isn't a single-sided conversation. I mean, I'm having influence with the campaign right now in some regard. And as a member of the Senate, I have some influence on sort of the direction we have there as well. But I think, again, what's going on right now is people are fed up with the results of Washington. And what we're not talking about on Republican side, this is what I said a few minutes ago, is that we're not talking about the high ground issues of the economic failures of this presidency and the fact that Hillary is only offering more of the same in terms of economic policy, foreign policy, and that's what I want us to start talking about. So my emphasis has been, look, let's talk about the things that the voters need to see as a true comparison between the two candidates.
In order to do that, he has to get specific, though. And part of the complaint, whether it's been on national security or economics, is that he throws out these big phrases like extreme vetting with no specifics.
Well, but the same thing could be said of Hillary Clinton. I mean, this is not a one-sided debate. I mean, I'm very frustrated the Republican side that in debates, we had 12 debates. We only had, I think, one salient question on the debt. And quite frankly, I'd like to see both sides talking more about that and their potential solution, because I think the Republican ethos has a way to deal with that over time in growing the economy, dealing with health care costs, redundant agencies, and this budget process. So those are the things I'd like to see us talk about. With regard to the foreign policy situation, I think, you know, clearly Hillary Clinton owns some of the failures out there right now with regard to the Russia relationship, as well as the Benghazi situation, and then these emails that are still being talked about. So I don't think that we yet have seen either camps get on a level where they're talking about the topics and issues people back home really care about.
Let's talk very quickly about funding for Zika, which is one area where there has been complete gridlock, if you will, in Washington right now. Isn't it time for a clean bill for the GOP in the House particularly to say, look, we're not going to attach conditions to Zika funding, since the CDC says even if you go in and use unused Ebola money, that's not going to be anywhere near enough?
Well, I think it is. What the CDC requested was $1.2 billion. That's what the Republican bill actually authorized, and it was going to be moved over. So I don't – this is a question of money, not on conditions being put on it. 1.9 is what the president wanted. CDC said they needed 1.2. That's what was authorized. I think now the money being diverted, the CDC has said that's adequate. But I think your point – again, is that the gridlock is what is so frustrating to me as an outsider. It's frustrating to the people back home. Why we can't get in a room, put the political issues aside, and come up with the right solution. But the bigger issue, again, is the fact that if we don't solve this debt crisis, our ability to even address the Zika crisis is being pulled right out of our hands. Our ability to even deal with that is being removed.
There have been bipartisan efforts to address the debt in the past. Senator Chambliss was involved in that. Why can't the two sides get together?
Political interest, primarily. You know, what I'm trying to do is attack it not in a holistic way, but to break it down into its components. I'm working on the budget process right now. It's very important to understand. I don't believe that the budget, fixing the budget process alone will not solve the debt crisis, but you will not solve the debt crisis unless you fix the budget process. Then there are other areas you have to deal with. You have to get the economy going and so forth. You have to solve our health care problems, but you really got to solve the Social Security and Medicare problem. They're going to be bankrupt in a few years. We've got to save those programs.
Senator David Perdue, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.